Mark Charon was uncomfortable coming here again, though the lab was probably still safe. He parked his Ford, got out, and walked to the front door. He knocked. Tony Piaggi yanked it open, a gun in his hand. "What's this?" Charon demanded in alarm. "What's this?" Kelly asked himself quietly. He hadn't expected this. Damn, he swung the rifle around, but the mechanism was stiff, and he was too late for the shot. He grimaced. "What the hell is going on?" Charon snapped at them. Then he saw the body on the floor.
"It's him. He's out there," Tucker said.
"Who?"
"The one who got Billy and Rick and Bert."
"Kelly!"
Charon exclaimed. He got his gun out now. Somehow, the bags of heroin he'd gotten from the evidence locker seemed unusually heavy now, and he unloaded them onto the table with the rest of them. That was when the phone rang. Tucker got it.
"Having fun, you cocksucker!" he shouted.
"Did you have fun with Pam?" Kelly asked coldly. "So who's your friend? Is that the cop you have on the payroll?"
"You think you know it all, don't you?"
"No, not all. I don't know why a man would get his rocks off killing girls, Henry. You want to tell me that?" Kelly asked.
"Fuck you, man!"
"You want to come out and try? You swing that way too, sweetie pie?" Kelly hoped Tucker hadn't broken the phone the way he slammed it down. Fine, he thought. They're tired and scared, and they don't know the game. Fine. He had all day. Ryan was desperate. He had so much information now. He was going to bag Henry Tucker, that inhuman bastard. And yet he knew that he was one step behind someone else. That dangerous cat Dr. Farber, the psychologist, had described to him was out in the street, hunting in daylight now. And Ryan didn't know where. Sad about Kaz, the superintendent observed to his friend. Maxwell nodded.
"What can I say, Will? He wasn't exactly a good candidate for retirement."
"I hear you put in your papers, too, Dutch. The superintendent of the United States Naval Academy didn't quite understand it. Talk was about that Dutch was a sure thing for a fleet command in the spring. The talk had died only a few days before, and he didn't know why."
"That's right."
Maxwell couldn't say why the orders had come from the White House.
"Time to make room for some new blood."
Admiral Greer entered just then.
"Hiya, Dutch. Will, we're going to steal one of your sailboats. You have something nice and comfortable that two admirals can handle?"
"Anything you want."
It made sense, Greer thought. They'd both been close with Kaz, and when you said goodbye to a sailor, you did it at sea. 5:30. The sun was in his eyes now, and Kelly peered across the street. He saw nothing except an occasional shadow. The clock was ticking. He could walk away from this if he had to. No, he really couldn't. He'd given them fear and let them get comfortable with it. Now, it was his move. He checked his gun, then headed down the stairs to the VW. He started it up, then slipped into the rush hour traffic.
"See anything? Just traffic on the other side. Don't get close to the window, man."
Charon was the most uncomfortable of the three. Perhaps it was just the proximity to the drugs. Could there be a way out of this? The money for his delivery was right there, next to the desk. He had a gun. To die like a criminal. They were the criminals. He hadn't done anything to offend this Kelly. Charon was just a crooked cop. He could come out of this a hero, couldn't he? Got a tip, walked right into it, crazy shootout. He could even help Kelly. And he'd never, ever get mixed up with anything like this again. Bank the money, get the promotion, take down Henry's organization. Yeah. Kelly turned left, then left again, heading south. There were three of them, and he'd have to be very, very good. He parked the car and walked the rest of the way to the building they were in. He walked to the corner of the building with the phone and electrical service, climbing carefully up, using the windowsills, reaching for the parapet. Okay, now you just have to walk across the roof without making any noise. on tar and gravel. There was one alternative he hadn't considered. The parapet on which he stood was 8 inches wide. Charon stood looking at the others and stretched before heading in their direction.
"What are you doing, Mark?"
Henry asked, not sensing the danger. "Tired of sitting," Charon measured angles and distances, then glanced at the phone. Piaggi just didn't like the look in his eyes. Charon's hand had barely touched the revolver when Tony aimed and fired one shot into his chest.
"Real smart guy, huh?" Tony said to the dying man.
Then he noticed that the oblong rectangle of light from the roof door had a shadow in it. It disappeared, replaced by a blur. The shot startled Kelly. The obvious thought that it had been aimed at himself, but he was committed and jumped down. He hit hard, rolled at once, straightening his arm. The nearest one was Piaggi. Kelly sighted and fired twice, changing aim then and hitting the man under the chin. Next target, there he was. Henry had his own gun out and aimed, and their eyes met. Hunter and hunter, hunter and prey. Then Kelly remembered Pam. His finger depressed the trigger, delivering a shot into Tucker's chest. The next round, too, went into the man's chest, dropping him to the floor. Mission accomplished, Kelly told himself. At least he'd gotten one job done after all the failures of this bleak summer. Maybe Pam would rest easier now, but probably not. It didn't work that way, did it? No, there was no remorse for this man, none for the others. He walked to the door and out of it. He still had an appointment to keep, and one more life to end.